Today we're actually collaborating with Lifeline, and so we're working with the Lifeline volunteers actually to bring these conversations into the public domain and potentially to invite people who might be passing by to have these conversations maybe at an earlier stage, I guess, than they would be in terms of calling someone from Lifeline. So I guess the idea with Lifeline collaborating with us kind of artistically is to bring this into a space that has a kind of aesthetic treatment that is attractive to people.
And so I guess connecting it to art and something more visual and aesthetic maybe, is that one of the ways to break down the barriers that people may experience when they try to start talking about mental health?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the idea of the festival is kind of based on, there's a whole range of researchers working with us as well, and we're partnering with Black Dog. And I guess one of the kind of guiding principles of our festival is that we are attuned to this notion that there are a lot of people out there who don't seek help and who don't go through the normal channels, I guess, or the health-based channels. And art is one of the ways in which we tell complex stories, and we tell complex stories about a whole range of emotions, from love to grief to anguish, and we can also tell these stories about mental health through that. And so one of the things that we do is actually work with people with lived experience, and a lot of the artists in the festival are artists with lived experience of mental health, and with lived experience of all sorts of kind of marginalised experiences that lead them to be stigmatised in the community and that lead to other sorts of mental health concerns.
Art and technology and like creative expression can help initiate conversations, but does the process of making art also contribute to mental wellbeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've been working with artists who are patients in the kind of hospital systems quite a long time, and it's certainly something that continues to come up, that art making actually is enormously conducive to feelings of well-being. And, you know, just 2 days ago, our friends at Long Bay Correctional Facility opened an exhibition which is at the Boomgate Gallery in Long Bay, and all of the art inside that gallery is made by inmates. And the exhibition reflects very deeply upon, and a lot of the inmates have given testimony about the importance of art in their sense of well-being and in their rehabilitation, in their kind of ability to sort of keep going and to strive for something better. Is through this capacity to make art within the context of that jail system. So I think it's one of those things that's very important that we understand that art can do these things, and the scientists that we're working with are also telling us these stories as well, and there are kind of, there is a lot of scientific evidence around the use of art as a tool for increasing the sense of well-being.
So why do you think art in itself has such a positive effect for mental health?
I guess it involves us in a range of other kinds of experiences without, you know, having to be sort of transported physically. And I think art has always had that potential. It's, you know, everything that we know about the beginnings of art are around, you know, its use in ceremony. I mean, and these things sort of continue today. But we have, you know, I think most of us that have these kinds of experiences with art, for myself, you know, to experience this kind of sense of connection to something that is kind of beyond my own day to day. So I think it's really about, you know, making sort of connections that are bigger than your sort of physical experience.
Do you think art and creative expression is becoming a common way for young people to deal with their mental health issues and emotions?
Well, we've just done a great project in St Leonard's with the Bradfield College, and they worked with an artist, Cameron Cripps Kennedy, and poet Omar Saka. And it was basically about bringing their mental health experiences into public conversation. So they've been doing work that brings poetry about sort of complex, private, hidden experiences of mental health and disability into the public space. And the feedback we've got from them is quite phenomenal actually, because I think poetry is a very, also another, like drawing, it's something that if you have the skills, if you develop the skills around poetry, you actually have this very immediate form to work with, just you and a pencil and a piece of paper. And in doing this work and sharing these words, I think it's been very important for the students that participated in the project.
You mentioned about the skill of poetry. Do you have to be good at art and creative work to reach the benefits of it?
I don't think so. You know, we learn that these things have enormous kind of cognitive effects. You know, in studies on Alzheimer's, it's kind of noted that if someone takes up a skill from like of drawing or painting or art making, even late in life can have enormous benefits on your sort of developing new sort of neural pathways. So I don't think it's I don't think that is so important. I think, you know, there's space for everyone in artistic practice, and you know, the more the merrier as far as I'm concerned.